Hi, this is Guy Smith, the pastor of One Life Church. I want to thank you for tuning in to this message. You know, all the messages that we create and really everything that we do at One Life Church is about fulfilling what we have as a biblical mission to make and guide fully devoted followers of Jesus Christ. My prayer and our prayer as a church is that as you tune into this message, that you will be blessed and your faith will grow and that the Holy Spirit will work in your heart and guide you towards a deeper faith and a greater mission for the cause of Christ. Enjoy.
Father God, I thank you so much for each one of these people and for their commitment to coming out and worshiping you tonight. We thank you for the work that Lori does with Lisa's Ladybugs and there's so many families that are positively impacted and supported by this and just make something that's so difficult to go through a little bit easier, a little bit easier. So Lord, we thank you for that burden that you put on her heart to help. And we thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to be a small part of that. So Lord, tonight as we break up in your word, I pray that the Holy Spirit will be present and will guide us in all that we do and say and think in your name, in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, we are in week two of our Christmas series called Fresh Eyes, Seeing Christmas in a New Light. Now, if you were here last week, you got a good introduction to the series, and we spent some time talking about Mary. And essentially, what this series hopes to do for each of us is, I know not everybody, but I know a lot of people in our community and in our church have heard the Christmas story like 50 times, right? It's like every Christmas there's a four-part sermon series about what happened at the birth of Christ. So we hear it, and what happens when we hear a story over and over and over again so much that we get to the point where it's just kind of in one ear, out the other. We just kind of coast through the movie because we know what's going to happen. And when we do that, we miss some of the gems, some of the hidden nuances in there that really speak volumes to us if we take the time to sit down and marvel at what God is teaching us and how this can impact our faith and how we can grow deeper in our relationship with Christ and have a better, more robust, more powerful, more life-changing, more life-altering understanding of the gospel and of what Christ has done for us. So seeing Christmas in a new light, we're going to talk about this last week, this week, next week, and then the fourth one is Christmas Eve. So this is the series that's going to take us right through Christmas Eve. So you can kind of narrow in on that as we look at Christmas in a new light. So today, what is one of the best things about Christmas? What do you get excited about Christmas? What are your kids or your grandkids or your great-grandkids or you really pumped about receiving on Christmas? Toys, right? Like we go crazy. The world goes crazy over toys. Am I right? Like, what are the hottest toys? People are like, I need the hottest toy. I need the most exciting thing. I go to Amazon and see what's the most important. And I don't know where else you would shop. So you get on Amazon and you find the hottest toys of Christmas 2018, right? Now, how many of you, speaking of toy crazy, how many of you are old enough or wise enough to remember 1996? And I know some of you were maybe born in 1996, and some of you are like, that's when I retired. So we've got this nice broader range, right? So in 1996, something happened called the Tickle Me Elmo craze. You remember that? That was nuts. So this company, I was 11 years old, by the way, just to give you some context. This company called Tyco originally ordered 400,000 units of the Tickle Me Elmo, and by Black Friday, they had already sold out. So they went ahead from theirs to their suppliers and they ordered 600,000 more. So now they have 1 million of these that went into the market, but 600,000 more entered into the market. And the scarcity, so this is business 101 for you, right? So the scarcity of these Tickle Me Elmo dolls provoked some crazy shopping frenzy nationwide. Let me tell you, remember some of the things that happened. Okay, so let me just give you some quick highlights. Here's what happened. Because people were so enamored with this toy. Two women were arrested in Chicago for fighting over a doll. Okay? Now, this is straight from Wikipedia.com. This is my high-quality research. In New York City, some people ran after a delivery truck and to attack it before it reached the store. Somebody in Denver allegedly paid $7,100 for a Tickle Me Elmo doll. $7,000. There was a Walmart clerk in Canada who was injured when a crowd, 300 strong, stampeded through the store whenever they saw one worker hand a box of Tickle Me Elmos to another worker. And that worker was stampeded, and his injuries included a pulled hamstring, a broken jaw, an injured knee, a broken rib, and a concussion. Because he was bombarded by 300 crazy shoppers. And all 1 million Tickle Me Elmos were gone by the end of December. It was crazy, right? People love their toys this time of year. We were just the other day, we were up in Dubois. We went up to Pat Catan's, and I made Kinsley tells me it was one of my biggest dad errors of my life, right? So we're going through line, and you know how these stores are now. You can't just wait in the checkout line. Now you got to wait, and you got to weave through all of these impulse items, right? So there's, you know, those little colorful expandable balls. They're like this one. You just pull them, and they get. Well, I made the mistake of one. I wanted to play with one, and so I made the mistake of handing one to Elam. He's 3 years old, and pretty quickly the line moved, and I said, "Buddy, we got to put that back." We had a. I mean it. Kinsley's like, it's $5, just buy it for him, we'll move on. And I said, no, I'm standing my ground. I said, we didn't come here to buy an expandable ball. The lady standing behind me is just, she's roaring with laughter to see my dad fail. Kinsley rolls her eyes and turns around and says, good luck, right? We left the ball there. Elam in tears. I don't know who learned the bigger lesson, me or Elam. But we just said, when you get home, tell Cookie. Cookie is the name of his elf on the shelf. We said, tell Cookie that you want her to go ask Santa for an expandable ball for Christmas. And he is so enamored and crazy for this expandable ball that it's been a couple weeks now, and almost every single day he walks over to that elf on the shelf and says, Cookie, tell Santa I want an expandable ball. He just needs this toy. He is marveling. He is in awe over this toy. It's in his focal point. So let me show you a picture of a toy that is in the Toy Hall of Fame. This is called a viewfinder or a viewmaster. You guys familiar with the viewfinder? So this has a little cartridge, and you pop that down in the top of it, and every time you click the button, it changes the picture. So you're looking at dinosaurs and trucks and all these beautiful mountain scenes, and you hold that up to your face, and it every time you click it, it changes your view. And this really, I share this with you to show you how this really symbolizes real life and our perspective. Because we all have a view and we all have a perspective on life, but it just kind of depends, as you click the button, it depends on what filter you're looking through when you look at your life. And how you look at the situation in your life can be determined by what filter you're looking at it through. Because where you're looking didn't change, but what you're looking through changed. Your perspective is a little different in the viewfinder. Okay? See, there's past, there's present, there's pain today, there's dreams for the future, and whichever one of those perspectives that we're looking at, and whatever inside of that, the situation that's controlling us dictates the kind of ways that we look at life. So here's why that's important. How you view life drives how you do life. That's the thrust I want you to see. We're going to go into some scripture here, and I want you to see this. How you view life is how you how you view life drives how you do life. So write that down if you're writing anything down. How you view life drives how you do life. We all have a filter that we use to view life, just like this toy. For some of us, it is in our relationships, our circumstances, our situations, our past, and that makes perfect sense. Like, this is just how we approach life based on our experiences and based on our environments and based on what's really going on. And that's what builds us into who we are. So this makes perfect sense. I'm not saying it's wrong to be like that, right? We all do that to a degree. But here's what I call this. I call this the look at filter. The look at filter. Whenever what you're looking through is affecting how you view life or how you view a situation or how you view Christmas time, or how you view God, the Bible, or church, or Christians, or non-Christians, I call this the look at filter. It's how we look at the circumstances. We look at our past. We look at our relationships. We look at our failures. We look at our finances, at our choices, at our career, at our school. And the list kind of goes on and on and on. And for a lot of people, the look at filter, it's kind of how you look at all of life. And this is why so many people want to be in complete control of life, because when the look at filter becomes the primary filter to view life, oftentimes the result is control and anxiety and greed and insecurity, because the filter, when we're looking at, has its limitations. So the question is, what does this have to do with Christmas? What does this have to do with Christmas? The look at filter. This has everything to do with Christmas, because this time of year, we open up our Bibles and we read the Christmas story. We come to church and we hear the Christmas story. We turn on the radio and they're singing songs that are telling us the Christmas story. So we look at Christmas, and our Heavenly Father, who gave us a new way to view life, is at center stage. That Jesus comes onto the scene and he gives us a new way to view life, a new way to view him. And this way we can change how we view life. Because when Christmas came and Jesus comes onto the scene, it's a pointed mark in history where we can look at life differently, because life now has greater purpose. Life now has a way for us to reconcile and be back in relationship with our Father. It absolutely changes everything when we look at life through the filter of the Son of God. This is such a gift, because remember, no matter what you are going through, no matter what your past looks like, your present looks like, or what your future will look like, how you view life drives how you do life. How you view life drives how you do life. Do you view life from the perspective of Christ? So if you have your Bibles with you, I would like you to open up to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Matthew, Mark, Luke. So three. Go to the NT, the New Testament. It's like the end of your Bible. Matthew, Mark, Luke. Use the table of contents if you're lost. So last week, no shame. Last week we looked at Luke 1, which was the story of Mary I mentioned a moment ago. Mary was the mother of Jesus. And today we're going to look briefly at another group of people and how their view of life and their view of God changed when they came in contact with the God of the Christmas story. It changed. So that when this happened, they were able to see God with fresh eyes and able to see their life with fresh eyes. And what happened to them is what can happen to us if we're willing to see and open our eyes to the beauty of Christmas and the beauty of Christ coming. So what's interesting about this group of people that we read about in Luke 2 is that, as far as we can tell, they aren't very religious. You expect everybody in the Bible to be like hyper religious, right? Like these people, like they, as far as we can tell, these people aren't really all that religious. See, up until this point, this group has no connection with the Christmas story. They aren't religious. They aren't in the temple. They're not even aware of what's going on. They're at work and they're doing what they always do. They're taking care of sheep. They're shepherds. So they're taking care of sheep. They're doing their thing. And in all likelihood, late at night, what would shepherds be doing? Probably kind of like sitting around a campfire, just talking about things, talking about life, right? What do you do when you go camping and sit around a campfire? You just, something about it, it's just like everything kind of, like you got the funny moments, the funny stories, and then it's like all of a sudden it's like, man, just watching this flame makes me want to like think about my life, like, right? Right? It's just like, what am I doing? Why am I here? Like, you just kind of start thinking about your life. So at this moment, they're looking at life through this look at filter, okay? There's this look at. They're not religious. They're just working a job, doing their thing. They're looking at their work. They're looking at, they're looking out for predators, right? They're doing their job. They're looking at their life at home. They're probably talking about normal everyday circumstances of what's going on in my life. And this makes total sense because this is just kind of what we do, right? Let's talk about what's happening in our life. It makes total sense until everything changes. It makes total sense until God intervenes in the story and says, hey, wait a second. I am at center stage, and I should be at center stage in your life, because that's how this works. Christ at the center. So they're given a completely different view of life, and not only does that change them, but what happened to them eventually flows on to us, and we hear about the shepherds often. So Luke 2, verses 8 through 14, if you want to follow along. It says, and in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field watching over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased. In this instant, in this moment, that group of shepherds went from looking at to looking up. They went from looking at to looking up. Because God intervened and he gave them a new place to view life from. They gave him a new direction, a new purpose. Now, I wonder how many of us, here we are wrapping up the 2018, hard to believe, right? I wonder how many of us have spent more time this year looking at instead of up. I'm not saying that by focusing on what has to happen in life and the real life grind of taking care of your family and working your job and running your business. I'm not saying that we are to deny reality, but I'm saying that we're not supposed to let reality to define us. To let your job define you, to let your family define you, to let the circumstance and the failure define you. But instead, we're supposed to look up. Look up and let God define who you are. Look up and let God define your circumstances. Surrender your circumstances to him and say, I trust you, God, with this. Glory to God in the highest heaven and on earth, peace to whom his favor rests. When you view life through this filter, the look up instead of the look at, something powerful happens. When we stop looking at all the time and start looking up instead, and we have a new filter and a new direction and a new purpose and a new drive, you know what happens? A three-letter word, A-W-E, awe. Awe. We look up and we're just in awe. I was just doing my thing, and then I looked up, and I was in awe. Being in awe, it's like this feeling of reverential respect mixed with fear and wonder. It's like I'm just in awe of all things Christ, all the things that God has done for me, the power of the gospel. I'm just marveling at it. Have you ever, or are you taking time to slow down enough to just sit and just be in awe of the Christmas story? We're so busy, we don't have time to sit down and marvel at the things of God. But somewhere between the Christmas shopping and the Christmas wrapping and the Christmas cookies and the family together and the full steam ahead until Christmas hits, somewhere along that path, are you willing to sit down and just be in awe of what God did for you when he sent Jesus into this world to be born a virgin and then sent shepherds to come and welcome him? Just to be in awe. I think all of us could use a little bit more awe in our lives. Just sit down sometime. Just sit down and read some scripture and just say, Holy Spirit, show me how marvelous this is. Just take your time and pray. So let me ask you a question. Which is bigger in your life right now, God or circumstance? What is bigger in your life right now, God or circumstance? Because when you look up consistently, God takes his rightful place, and so do your circumstances. God takes the right place. So let me give you a picture here in a second of what that looks like. Okay, here's what it looks like to be in awe, to look up and just say, I am in awe of you, God. I am marveling at who you are and what you've done for me because I deserve none of it, right? How amazing is what you have done for me? So let me give you an idea of what the shepherds might have looked like when they went from looking at their life to looking up and in awe of God. How many of you have ever heard of Andre the Giant? You guys remember Andre the Giant? He died several years ago, but Andre the Giant, a lot of people know him from his role in The Princess Bride. He was the giant in Princess Bride, but before that, Andre was a very popular, very famous professional wrestler, and his name implies exactly what he is. He was a giant. He was reportedly 7 feet 4 inches tall, and he weighed over 300 pounds. How would you like to face him in a wrestling ring, right? I mean, the guy is like, you know, a lot of times I feel tall, and he's more than a foot taller than I am, right? Andre the Giant. Everywhere he went, people would stop and they would look at him in amazement. Wow, who is this guy? But so see, for him, that wasn't really unusual. For him, he's just going about his day. He's like, this is how tall I am. People see me. People's jaw drops. They follow me through the airport, and they just can't believe how big I am. That's just kind of normal for him. But that person had never seen anything like that before, seen a man that big. There was this one time, you may be familiar with this picture. There was this one time that a photographer captured an interaction that illustrates exactly what I think the shepherd's reaction would have been whenever the angel showed up and they started to look up at God instead. One day, Andre the Giant, all 7 foot 4 of him, was walking through an airport. Again, this probably happened all the time. He's walking through an airport, and this little boy runs up to him, and this little boy had never seen anybody this big before, and he looks up at him, and they both stopped, and Andre looks down, and the little boy looks up in absolute awe and wonder and amazement, and it was an amazing scene, and here's the picture that the photographer captured. Can you see the little boy's face? Just this moment of awe. Look at that expression. Like, how incredible is that? He's just like, whoa. Look how big this man is, right? So this boy, he has this incredible moment, this incredible look of awe in this airport that suddenly his whole perspective changes and he looks up in awe and amazement. It's what I want to encourage you to do this Christmas tonight. That instead of looking around, look up. Look up at God and see the glory of God. Because some of us, this year, as the year kind of starts to wrap up, this maybe has been the year that you looked up. Maybe this was the year that you gave your life to Christ, or this was the year that you got baptized and you took that moment and you stepped in the water and you gave all credit to Christ because you didn't do anything but say yes to him. So you look up and say, wow, God, thank you so much for saving my life, and you change your perspective. But for some of you, I know this Christmas, maybe you're afraid to look up. Maybe you're scared to look up because you're convinced that God is mad at you. Or you're convinced that God is disappointed in you, or that he's frustrated in you, that he's exasperated with you. You need to look again with fresh eyes at the Christmas story, because God went to great lengths for you when he sent Jesus, born of a virgin, to die in your place. But here's another reason why I love this photo from Andre the Giant. This is really important if you're in that camp. This is really important because everybody looks at the face of the little boy, and that represents us looking up to God in awe. But when we look up, what's God doing? God is looking upon. He's looking down upon us. And according to the angels, God is looking upon you with peace and with favor. And that is symbolized by the expression of Andre the Giant. Look at the smile that he has. Now, again, we have to remember, let's not forget, this probably happened to him every single day of his life. Every time he walked through an airport, there was probably somebody whose jaw dropped because he was so stinking big. And let's also not forget that he's at an airport, so he's probably got somewhere to be. He's not just strolling through the mall on a Saturday afternoon. He's got somewhere to be. But yet in this moment, he stops and he looks down at this boy and he smiles. And he looks upon him. This reflects our Heavenly Father's face when he looks down on us. Isn't that amazing? That this smile is the smile of grace and understanding. This is a picture of how God sees you and I. Because at the end of the day, and at the beginning of the day, and in the middle of the mess, he loves you. He continues to love you. Because he created you. You are his son, or you are his daughter. And when we begin to understand that God sees us with that much joy and peace and love and amazement, that helps you start to see Christmas with fresh eyes. That helps you start to see, wow, God sent Jesus for me. How amazing is this? God looks at me like that. He loved me that much, even before I got saved. He loved me that much. This is why this could be one of the best Christmases ever. If you would just begin to believe that God is looking upon you with that kind of love and favor. Because he is. But you just simply got to look up. Look up. Which we're so busy looking at. So my hope for you is that we will be a church full of people who look up, knowing that God is looking upon us with peace and love and favor, and that this is the Christmas story. So what's an example of looking up? As we step into 2019, I know a lot of people come to church in December that don't come in January or February. Maybe looking up for you is just saying, in January, I'm going to make God important to me and I'm going to keep focused on him. I'm going to look up, not just on the holidays, but all year long. Is that important enough, right? Looking up. Maybe it means joining Bible studies. Maybe it means placing your faith in Jesus for salvation. Maybe that means saying, yeah, hey, come spring baptism, I'm ready. I'm ready. I want to look up. But before you do all that, I want you to take a moment tonight. And at some point before you go to bed tonight, and it's been pretty warm, so you can handle this, right? It's just to simply step outside and look up and just know and think about that the same God of the universe who created you and sent Jesus is still there. He's still the same. He still loves you. He's still looking at you with the kind of joy that Andre the Giant looked at that kid, and just look up in amazement of what he has done for you this Christmas. This is one of the many reasons why I love being a part of this church, because when you look up and you see God for who he is and how he loves you, does it not inspire you and encourage you to have faith and to grow? That's a beautiful thing about church. It's a beautiful thing about coming together as the body of Christ. So last Sunday, three believers, praise God. Remember, only one in heaven's going nuts, but three believers made the commitment and got baptized in preparation. And when they did that, in preparation for them sharing their testimonies, one of the things I ask them is if you don't come up front that often, it's difficult, it's challenging, and figure out how to put something together and not get too nervous, right? I said, here's the thing. Here's the tendency that sometimes we make a mistake of when we give testimonies. We have a tendency sometimes to be like, I was bad and now I'm good. I did that, now I do this. I did that and now I quit. But what I asked them was, I said, make it about Jesus. Make it about what Jesus did for you and keep the focus on him, that he saved me, that he opened my heart to him. And I said, yes, I am deciding today to follow Jesus. Make it about him. Essentially, I was saying, hey, don't look at the water. Don't look at the congregation. Don't stress about this. Don't look at your good behavior. Don't even look at your decision that you made to plant your feet and say, today I decide to follow Jesus. But instead, focus on by looking up and saying, God saved me when he sent Jesus into the world to die for my sins. And I heard somebody tell me that Jesus came with the gospel and he saved souls. And I said, I hear the truth. I believe the truth. What do I do? Repent and get in the baptism waters in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Not in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, and my good behavior, right? That's what is so important. And that's the story. And that's the truth of looking up. Looking up, because it's so easy to look at my circumstances and my failures and my achievements and my merit to get what I think I deserve. But instead, we got to look up, because how we view life drives how we do life. So look up and believe that God is with you. Amen? Amen. Won't you pray with me as the worship team comes up? The altars are always open. Like I said, Father God, I thank you so much for each one of these people and for the message of salvation and for the message of the shepherds. Just being inspired to be in awe of who you are. So thank you, God, for this story and for this truth, that you would reach down to an everyday working man and show them that you are real and that you want them to be a part of the story. Lord, may we today, each one of us, step out into our onto our porches or into our yards or our driveways and just look up and for a moment say, thank you, God. Thank you for being the same the first time the Christmas story happened and all the way to today when we continue to tell it. So Lord, may we today look at this story with fresh eyes and look up. May that be the filter that we look at life with starting today. We love you, Jesus. We praise you in your holy name. Amen.